Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, back to Fox Sports Radio Presents The Soul and Sports. People, it's a Lock It Up Friday. NFL divisional playoffs are here, and so are you. But first, the particulars, people. 347-637-3859. I'm going to call them again. I repeat myself for those who don't know the number. Again, I've been saying it for 8 years. 347-637-3859. Nine is the number to call in. Hit number one if you want to have a voice. Well, like I said, we are here for the next 60 minutes to lock it up for you on this Lock It Up Friday. NFC, AFC divisional playoffs are upon us. People, also, the return of the prodigy, BJ Penn, comes back to the UFC live on Fox FX, people. 347-637-3859. Now, my name is Mike Knoxon. Indeed, I spell my name with three X's. Because let's just be honest, people. Like LeBron James, I'm hardcore. Because simply, if that man can make his hair grow back, then damn it, he's hardcore as well. Listen, make sure you follow the station, give me the identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports. Also, the Soul, S-O-U-L-N Sports. To also follow us right there on the Twitter, social media, wherever it is sold. Make sure you check out the podcast as well, iTunes, Stitcher. I mean, damn, if there's a podcast, then I'm quite sure they're there. Matter of fact, as my man David Otunga would say, Google me, BDSIR Network. But as always, I'm not here alone. I got my brother. Well, we have the same father, but we still from a different mother. Y'all know who he is, Amy Richard on the Twitter. What's going on, Micah?
Oh, man, it is Friday, and I had a good week sleeping in 3 days, gaming the other 24. Man, let me tell you, I'm excited for this weekend, but I'm always excited about everything. But, you know, I mean, baby's coming, you know, little Emmy Richmond on the Twitter is coming, you know, and we got these fantastic divisional round games, and I can't wait to talk about each one. Hey, a black guy got hired as a head coach. I didn't even know he existed.
What are you talking about, Willis?
We're talking about Anthony Lynn getting hired for the Chargers. I don't know why I'm thinking he's some random black guy, but hey, I think he's some random black guy. I haven't heard of him until today, listening to this NFL Wire when it comes to these coaching changes. But other than that, I'm still fat, looking to make some pizza later. Dude. What is going on? What is going on with the NFL and San Diego Chargers? Why? Why, Mike? Why do they do it?
I have a diehard friend of mine that's a diehard Chargers fan whose heart is bleeding. But hey, they looked out today. You see, they changed the colors back, right, to the powder blue and the yellow in the uniforms. They realized that first uniform was not going to cut it. So You need to cut it. And they did. But also, welcome to the program. We'll get into that as well. My man, all the way from the DMV, and I trust y'all people. He's the black man driving in these streets. He got some ID. What's going on, my man? Wale!
What's going on, folks, man? How y'all doing, man? Like Micah said, man, football time. Man, it's the best time. You got the divisional matchup. I call this rematch revenge weekend.
That's exactly what it is. It is a lot of rematches. It is definitely a lot of rematches this weekend. And I definitely want to get into that. So, but let's go back to what Michael was referring to just there. And it does have to be the move from San Diego to Los Angeles. And here's my thing, Wally. You know, we've been following this for over a year. They said they were going to move. So why is everybody so surprised now? I don't get that. We knew they were moving to L.A., Wally.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego. There was a chance that they could stay, obviously, but the city didn't do it.
With Sanaa Lathan, but it's a far fetched chance.
Oh man, that's a chance, man. That can happen, man. That's nothing far fetched about that, bro. That can happen. That's the blessing of social media, man. That's the blessing of social media.
You gotta meet her, huh? You gotta meet her.
Yeah, all she gotta do is retweet me, see it, and it's a wrap. Then we just gotta meet each other. That's all. That's neither here nor there. That's a stalker type stuff. That's a stalker type stuff. So back to your point about the LA, I guess it would be the LA Chargers now. The community didn't do its part. The government didn't do its part. Their local government didn't do its part to keep them in town. So they had to go. It's all about making money in this business. You got to give them the stadium they want. They didn't get that. They didn't vote the way they needed them to vote to get the stadium. So in the grand scheme of things, this is what happened.
That's what happens.
I understand that dynamic, but I wanted to bring to the discussion, to the panel, to this awesome, intelligent sports fan, sports commentator, journalistic group that we have here. Is it the responsibility of the people to provide a private business with a location? And what I mean by that is give them taxpayer dollars so that they can have their private enterprise in their area. So, I mean, should I give up money out of my pocket, a percentage out of my pocket, for
right,
my family, so I can have a football?
Let me double ask that and say, is it fair for President-elect Trump to ask Mexico to pay for the wall?
To ask Mexico to pay for a wall to stop their illegal immigrants?
Yeah. So –
I think it's fair to ask them to pay a percentage, but I don't think it's fair for them to ask them to shell up the whole cost.
I'm not seeing it the same way.
I'm sorry.
But Mike, that's where the teams ask the cities. The teams doesn't ask the cities to pay for the stadiums. They say, hey, we're going to bring in revenue. See, this is what people don't understand. A city, like if they're building a new stadium in Richmond, right? It brings money. It helps out the area. So when people say, I'm not going to rebuild a stadium, then that just means that the city didn't want you there because the city wanted you there. They see that these stadiums are being built massively nowadays. You build the stadium to keep the football team there to bring in revenue. So I blame, like Wally just pointed out, I blame the city. I can't blame the owner. They're a business. This is a multi-billion dollar business. Go ahead, Wally. Jump in.
This has been going on for years and all, you know, in terms of sports in general. Like, this is what it is. It's like you want your team to stay. Then you just it's within the voting, within vote. You know, obviously, when you go into the poll, and that's probably one of the things that you have to vote on, and you see it. You know what I mean? So you have the opportunity to have your team stay there. I mean, you see it all. I mean, I know for a fact here for the Washington Redskins, for them to get moved over here in Prince George's County, that was something that was voted on. There's vote. There's a chance. There's rallies to have them go to Virginia. And then people voting on that.
Right.
Even in D.C. and so forth, it's always been that way. It shows that okay, you're willing to fork over tax. They're willing to pay money to keep this team here.
If you're not willing
to pay, then they move on. That's just how it is.
Cities are going to pay.
Hold on, Michael.
The Redskins right now, they're in a battle to stay. If their spring training facility is going to stay here in Virginia. They signed a 5-year contract, but if you saw from being there this year at spring training, I got baseball on my mind. Go, Cubs, go! That the turnout wasn't the same as Virginia expected to. And it's, from what I was hearing, they may not come back here next year for training camp. And if so, it's their last year. They still got 2 more years on that contract. They got to fork out the money if they want the team. So I feel bad, for the fan base in San Diego. But if you're a fan of this team, that's the question I want to ask you, Micah. Do you stop being a fan? Because I know a lot of fans of the Chargers are like, I'm not a Charger fan. Now, if you live in the area, I get you not following the team. That's like when the Colts left Baltimore, whatever. You want to follow? Follow. If you don't, you don't. I get that. But if you're a fan from afar and you're a Chargers fan, you should have no attachment to the city. Do you think?
No, I'm totally with you. You know, as me being an Indianapolis Colts fan, I'm not from Indiana. I'm not from Indianapolis. I have no bearing on them moving in the middle of the night from Baltimore to Indy, which was kind of foul. But I'm not as affected and mad about it as when Andrew Luck goes into Baltimore and everyone is booing and throwing things and want to throw things at him because he represents a franchise that used to be theirs and they just typed in the middle of the night and just left. So I understand San Diego people in San Diego who grew up and understood that franchise, were part of that franchise. Now, honestly, because I'm on the outside looking in, I'm not burning no jerseys. I'm not burning no hats. I'm not burning anything that I put my hard-earned money into just because I'm mad because my city council didn't do what they were supposed to do and have that aspect of our city still in. So from that perspective, I'm like, what? I mean, I'm not going to cry over it, but I'm on the outside looking in. But, Mike, I have to ask you, you growing up in Chicago, you know, same question for you. If you grew up in Chicago, and your Bears decided to go ahead and move out of, from Chicago, from the Chicago area to, like, you know, Montana, I mean, how would you feel about that?
Well, A, I'm an Eagles fan, but like you said, I grew up in Chicago. I got you. I'm just, let me state it. You asked me the question. Let me answer it. I could not follow the Bears out of Chicago. So, again, from in-city, I get that. But from out-of-city, I don't get that. So, the fans in the city, like a good friend of mine, is from San Diego. He's, you know what I mean? But he's more, but he loves California pretty much-based teams. You know what I mean? That's like, it's that whole, I'm from San Diego, but California's a big state, so I'm going to rock with everybody in the state, if that makes any sense to you, Wally.
No, that makes sense to me. Again, I mean, if it happened, and I'm going to try to put it into for me and see how it impact me. Say the Redskins moved out of, you know, this area. I'll be pissed. But I wouldn't be pissed, obviously you'd be pissed at the ownership because you'd be like, wow, you're gonna move the team. But at the same time I have some resentment to the people because you all have an opportunity to keep this team here. I mean, that's how I look at it. I'm gonna be pissed at the ownership. I think that's natural. You're gonna be pissed at the ownership because you're gonna be like, that's greedy. You're gonna move my team elsewhere, just like how Cleveland Brown fans were pissed at the Cleveland Browns moved out of.
To imagine, and you know a lot of fans from that area, and so does you, mm-hmm. Micah. If the Eagles were to move out of Philadelphia, they would burn that stadium.
Yeah.
The stadium would not make it through the night.
Yes. So.
hold on, Mike. Are you really seriously saying that the fan base that's known for having that quote unquote the jail holding cell in the old stadium, throwing quote unquote batteries at drunken Santa, we already know about the story, they will actually burn down the new stadium that they just got recently in these last recent years.
If Jeffrey Lurie woke up one morning and said, I'm moving the Philadelphia Eagles out of Philadelphia, now, what I just say, a city would have to give up a team, in my opinion. Okay, so first of all, Philly wouldn't give up the Eagles. Okay, but if another city outbid the Eagles, Philadelphia that is, and they decided to move, I don't think any of the merchandise makes it to the next stadium, to the next city. I think they would burn that bitch to the ground. But we have a Philadelphia native as well as myself on the line, Jay Christian, the new Twitch show. You're talking about the San Diego Chargers leaving San Diego and the fan base. If Jeffrey Lurie was to move the Eagles, would that any of that equipment make it to the bus or the train or the plane?
He better move it in the dark of the night like they did Cleveland to Baltimore.
Exactly.
Or Baltimore to Indianapolis. I mean, there's no way he would make it out.
No way
he would make it out. And he'd probably be found if he did make it out. I'll tell you that right now.
So
there's no way. And to answer some of the questions that were asked before, would I support? You know, I tell you what, I probably would support for as long as the people that I'm familiar with are on the team. Like, say, you know, they have the team that they have now and they move to, I don't know, Wyoming or, you know, whatever. Say they move to Vegas. I would probably support until, like, some guys like Wentz and Sproles and Jordan Matthews and you know, that defense, like, probably until they're not, as long, until they're off the team, they wouldn't have my support anymore. I'd have to pick a new team. I'd have to. They're not the Philadelphia Eagles anymore. They would be the Vegas Eagles or whoever.
Right.
So, yeah, it would be hard to support, quite honestly.
347-637-3859. We are talking NFL. We are talking San Diego Chargers leaving San Diego, becoming the Los Angeles Chargers. Like I said, for those who may be coming in late like Jay Chris, the colors that were originally set for the new team in a new go-go were blue and white. All H-E-double hockey stick broke out, okay? We're talking about bed knobs and broomsticks and every other stick you can throw into the fire to burn a witch at the stake. They were doing about those colors. They changed them back to the powder blue and yellow. I think that was a great move. Keep some tradition of that franchise. And you're right, King Vaughn, the Vegas Eagles don't sound right. I don't think the Las Vegas anything sounds that right, to be frankly honest with you. But they going back to that original color, do you think that was a way to stay face with some of the fans, Micah?
I mean, you're not going to stay face with the fan base in San Diego like we already talked about. They're already headhunting. They're already burning their stuff. They're already throwing their stuff away. They already lost interest in the team and hope that the team, you know, blows chunks this next season. And so from that perspective, they don't even care. They're not going to appease them. I think more so the outside fan base, the people that's not in the city directly affected by it, I think those are the ones who are going to be kind of more okay with it. And it's less of a chance that you're going to get made fun of by the L.A. Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Lightning for having the love child of their logos. You actually can start establishing a logo for yourself. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. Our team at Fox Sports could have made that logo. Don't these people get paid like hundreds of thousands of dollars for marketing? Like,
that logo's not that bad. I think people really put too much into a logo. That's just me. I think people put too much into a logo.
Oh my God! Well, anyway, it's a marketing logo anyway, so it didn't matter if it was white and blue or powder blue and yellow. If they're not going to change the actual helmet to fit that particular logo, then then they have nothing to worry about. If it's just a marketing logo and it stinks as a marketing logo, that's all it's going to do anyway, because we think their franchise stinks anyway.
It's the money. It's the same color. Unless they put the LA on the helmet, which you already have the boat's still in the logo. And King Vaughn said the logo looks weak. I mean, what logo really looks tough? I mean, it's a logo. The Eagles have a picture. The Redskins have a picture. If it's just words, if it's just a text logo, it's text logo. I mean, what is it supposed to look like? Am I missing something in that one, Wally? Is the logo that hideous?
No, logo's normal. It's cool to me. It's simple.
Cool to me.
I don't
get that.
It's a logo. I mean, as long as it ain't the most hideous thing in the world, you'll still see people rock it. You'll see people rock it, the baseball cap or whatnot. They'll be fine. The logo's okay.
I like it as well. 347-637-359. I won't say I like it as well. That'd be a lie. But it's a logo,
yeah,
right? Like.
Logo.
It's okay, right? 347-637-3859 again, to get it out there and get out the way. Listen, it's coming up this weekend, guys, and it's the divisional playoffs. Saturday. Are you cool with having two games Saturday, two games on Sunday? Anybody
yeah,
else?
That's
okay.
Cool. That's the norm. It's always been like that for years.
How about one game on Saturday and three on Sunday?
Oh, man, it's not. No, that's never going to happen.
I know it will not. I'm just saying, you could be a Saturday p.m. game, right? You go to 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock and then a 7 o'clock or 7:30 game p.m. for the playoff. I think we should do that. They own a day of the week anyway. With God is the NFL. You know what I mean? God and the NFL run Sunday. So, I mean, what are you going to do? But we got Seattle 4:35 on Sunday playing. At home is Atlanta. 4.5-point favorites in this game. To me, the league's MVP, Matty Ice, can take on the Seattle team, and it's not the same Seattle team that has put out Atlanta in playoffs in the past. Seattle did play good last week against Detroit, but I think Detroit was what we thought they were, and no one let them off the hook because their record was, 9-7 going into the playoffs. They overachieved, in my opinion, all around. They were tough. You know, they played hard, but that's what the middle of the pack teams do. Can Seattle go into Atlanta, J. Chris, and not just win the game outright, but cover the 4.5? Because I'm taking Atlanta to not just cover the 4.5, but win this game by 7 or more points in this game. I have all the faith in Atlanta. Now, you know what's the funny part about this is? I don't know why. They have given me nothing to believe in them. They have the same Atlanta team this year, so they didn't falter like they always falter. But I think there's something in the water in Atlanta that gives them this win before they go on next week and lose to whoever they play next week. When I hear that pick later, J. Chris, who you got, Seattle or the Falcons?
This is probably the toughest game to pick for the whole weekend, man. I'll be honest with you. I always sell this game being close. I always said these were outside of the Cowboys, the two best teams in the NFC. This game, Seattle traveling across the country in this game, Atlanta's own team, you said? Oh, man, I want to pick Atlanta in this game. I don't know if I like the line, though. I always felt
you don't like the 4.5?
Close. I don't like the 4.5. I don't like it.
Atlanta win the game, but in this point spread in which we talk, because anybody can pick winners and losers, you're not going to lock up that 4.5?
I can't lock that 4.5 up.
Lock it up.
I can't lock it up.
I'm locking up that 4.5.
You better lock it up.
I'm going to double lock that 4.5. I'm going to lock it like
it's the only season. The only thing that makes me want to lock it up is the fact that they still don't have Earl Thomas.
Lock it up. Lock it up.
Well, that's the
Without
main
Earl Thomas, that defense is a little bit of a different beast. But what they say in that Kobe commercial is a different beast, but the same nightmare or something like that. That Seattle defense is still tough, even without Earl Thomas. He's a main cog, but I like this game being close, man. I don't know. Maybe that 4.5, I just don't like the 4.5. It's a tough one. That's why it's always tough to pick lines. But that's what we do. So I'm picking Atlanta, and I'm picking Seattle to cover that 4.5.
I gotta take this to Wally, because maybe for once, because I don't think all season long Wally and I have picked on the same lines more than a handful of times. A lot of games we called, Wally. Are you with me? Are you with your college buddy there? Lock it up, Wally.
I know I have Atlanta winning. I know it's gonna be pretty close. It's 4. I mean that sounds reasonable. I don't think it's gonna be a blowout. I think it's pretty. It's about the same. I'll go with 4. I'll go with that one. I'm gonna go with what Watt said though. I agree with what Watt said about Earl Thomas.
Why do I want to mute you right now? Why do I want to stand wiki you? Because I knew you were gonna do that. I just knew you were gonna do that. You don't believe in Atlanta either, but you do believe.
Oh,
in
I do believe in Atlanta. I believe Atlanta over Seattle. I don't like when without Earl Thomas, they're not the same team. Julio Jones against Richard Sherman, one man on man to man without Earl Thomas to save him is a problem. Like, that's a problem. Like, that's a serious problem. That's I'm about to be embarrassed on national TV problem.
See, that's where I'm going to disagree, respectively, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Richard Sherman is vastly – I said that. I said a big word, y'all. See, I can be good. I was in resource class. Y'all know that? I just said vastly. I did that. I used it in a sentence, but then I stopped my sentence. So then I'm trying to find myself back, and I couldn't. But anyway, I think he's vastly underrated. And playing one-on-one D, and I think that the Seattle secondary gets too much credit for having help defense. I've watched Richard Sherman's play physical, man-to-man defense with every single wide receiver that's come his way. Now, he doesn't play but one side of the field, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I keep that on that part. He does stick on an island like Revis, and we know Revis Island was burnt several times, okay? I just think Richard Sherman can stick anybody in the NFL as best you can stick a Julio Jones, if that makes any sense. Michael,
well, I do know that Julio Jones ate him with Earl Thomas to help him out. So I just know that you're not going to have Earl Thomas. Like, even that matchup they had when he won that pass first thing they called, he
when
got
your
ate.
Mama named Julio, you should be good at something, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I mean, Julio, I'm just saying he's about to eat him. Like, this is about to be tragic. This is going to be serious. Like, nobody's going to rescue this dude. There's no 911. There's no 911.
Someone please call 911. Michael, who wins this game?
Man, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you that Seattle is going to cover that point spread and win by that much. That's what I believe is going to happen. Okay, and here's the reason why I say that. Seattle found something last week that they didn't have all year. That was a run game, okay? That was against the 20th-ranked run defense. Guess who has a 17th-ranked run defense? You guessed it, Atlanta. Guess who has the 28th ranked pass defense?
But they're running back hurt.
Atlanta. Let me finish this. Even without Earl Thomas, the Seattle Seahawks still have the number 6 rushing and pass defense in the league right now.
Yeah.
So are you telling me that against a top, almost top 5 defense, that an offense is going to pull this
question
out?
Right, this is my response to that. This is my response to that when you look at the stats. What division do they play in? What division are they playing?
Well, I mean, but Atlanta playing the AFC.
No. What division is Seattle playing? But what division is Seattle playing in terms of receivers?
Yeah,
who do they see?
They're playing a tougher division than the NFC South.
No. What receivers do they see? You said pass defense. What receivers do they see in the NFC West?
In the NFC West?
Cool. Yeah, Seattle.
The only one they may have seen was before he got kicked.
Larry Fitzgerald.
I really want to give him the rock. It doesn't matter what receiver they get.
It doesn't matter who they played in that division.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that what I'm saying is that you see them twice a year in the season, right? You're seeing the St. Louis Rams pass offense twice a year. You're seeing the San Francisco 49ers wide receiving core twice a year. You're seeing the Arizona Cardinals wide receivers twice a year.
Wow, you're saying you don't believe
so your stats
me.
Are
you think that's
your stats are a little prorated. Your stats look a little good, don't they?
But see, that same argument can be used against Atlanta because they've seen a whack New Orleans Saints defense. They've seen a halfway decent Carolina defense and a more decent, a more improved defense in Tampa Bay was the toughest defense they played as far as the division was concerned.
They put up numbers against good defenses. That's true.
Regardless, but I don't think I'm not saying that Matt Ryan is not a good quarterback. I'm not saying that he doesn't even deserve the MVP this year based on Mike's analysis of what he brought to the table. I can see why an argument can be made. I think one of the things that's going to hold Matt Ryan back from the MVP and hold me back from believing him in this game is because when it comes to games of this caliber at this stage, I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Matt Ryan.
I'm stumbling over my words. Right now, as Wally's taking a break, we got our man Nick calling in to speak on the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle's favored by 4.5. Well, they're underdogs by 4.5. I'm sorry. I'm the only one that thinks that not only can Atlanta win this game outright, but cover the spread as well. Wally, as well as Uncle Jay, says Atlanta wins, but don't cover the spread. Most shows say, give me who you got. No, we play point spreads around here, Nick. Who you got in this game? 4.5 underdog is the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to speak. I believe Seattle is going to win this game on the road. Why? Because of what you guys were just talking about, the run game with Thomas Rawls. Seattle has been missing this running game all year long, and it's about time Thomas Rawls has come back to form. Remember, he missed about eight or so games this year because of that broken leg. So, having said that, I think Seattle is going to get back to form with the running game once again. But here's the X factor. Jimmy Graham has to be Jimmy Graham. They need to utilize Jimmy Graham as what they traded for when they traded their best center the year before. And they need to get Jimmy Graham the ball. If you don't get Jimmy Graham the ball, they're going to have a tough time winning this game, I think, because Atlanta, I mean, their defense is not exactly the best. But if you're not going to use your weapons, Jimmy Graham especially, I mean, Baldwin could cut him up. But I think if you're not going to use Jimmy Graham, especially in the red zone, you're going to have a tough time winning this game. So I think Seattle does win this game because they're more of the veteran team, and they are on the road. But Atlanta has proven countless times over the years, especially Matt Ryan, and when it's time to win, they don't do it. Simple as that. I'm just going to take the experienced team here in Seattle, and I think 4.5 is a bit much for the spread, I think. So Seattle, even though Seattle's on the road, I like how they're going to put it together. I know Julio's a beast, but in the end, I think Seattle's going to grind this one out.
This is one of those games, Nick, that Jake Crisp would bring up and say Vegas is trying to do something. Pretty much everybody says they don't like the line. I like the line. Jay Chris. I like the line, Nick. I think the line is exactly where it should be. I think some of the things that Wally just touched on, even though it kind of goes against, you know, argument against what he, how he picked his game. Who has Seattle really played? They've come up short. And I believe in Russell Wilson more than I believe in Matt Ryan. Micah, you're absolutely right. I think Jimmy Graham can be a problem. But you know what Jimmy Graham has proven to me since he left Drew Brees? That he's very inconsistent. He's very inconsistent without Drew Brees. And Russell Wilson's not a bad quarterback. Russell Wilson is an accurate quarterback. I just think that this team, again, without Earl Thomas, I think that the Atlanta Falcons finally have it together to win a playoff game. I don't think it goes no further than this week for them, but I like them in this game. Moving on to the crazy point spread, Jay Chris. 16 is the point spread for the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans. How do you have this game going? 16 is on the board. Number one rule is double-digit point spreads are disrespectful. What is your thought?
I think the Texans are about to be disrespected. 16 is, I think that might have been one of the highest we've seen in the past couple of years. Honestly, that's definitely one of the highest we've seen in the playoffs. 16, wow, I thought it would probably be like 12 or something like that. If the Texans pull this off, it would be one of the biggest upsets ever. It's not like we haven't seen something like that happen before, but Texans aren't pulling this game off. Come on, man. Give me the Patriots. Give me the 16 and a half. I like it. I'm sorry. I think the Patriots might win this one by at least 3 touchdowns. Honestly.
Wow.
This is Tom Brady's time of year. Give me the Patriots. And they cover.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No,
you lock it up.
Lock it up. Wow. Hey, Chris. Double-digit leads, my friend.
I know.
Double-digit leads, my friend.
You're right there with me. You got to be. You got to be right there with me.
No, for once, I'm not.
Here's the thing. You say double-digit, but if it wasn't 16, if it was 11 or 10, you'd be with me.
I would.
I
absolutely would. But here's the thing. Because it's 16, the Houston Texans will cover this spread. They're not going to win this damn football game. They couldn't beat a third-string quarterback in Brissett. Okay? So that's not going to happen. They're not going to win this game. J.J. Watt, if he plays or not. Javivion Clowney, the run starter that he is, or not. The only way they win this game is that they get to Tom Brady early. They hurt Tom Brady early, which he doesn't rattle. Tom Brady's been hit around. He does not get rattled. Okay? But they have a better chance of beating them than Wally getting a date with Shanae Lathan. 347-637-3859. New England all the way in this game, but Houston covers this. And that's my upset of the week. 16 points against a playoff defense? I don't give a damn how bad Austin Waller is. And trust me, I'm sorry, Trashin Waller is. That's what you call him, right, Micah? Trashin Waller.
They're in the playoffs by default.
They are in the playoffs by default. But that defense,
that's exactly right, because the division was trash and they were the best of the trash teams. Excuse me. They had the best defense, as Mike predicted earlier in the year. The team with the best defense in that division was going to win the division. I didn't believe them. Thought the Colts was going to do well. I disagreed. And guess what happened? The better defense in that division, the trash division, won the division. So I think kudos to you, Mike. You are spot on with your predictions. What, 85-90% of the time? Better than most of these pundits out here? Good job, sir.
It's got to be the water, something in the water. How do you got this game going, Micah? 16.
I have to go with Jay Chris on this one, brother. And you gave me, you said the thing I was going to bring up. You know, you have a guy who never started an NFL game, was a third-string quarterback, contributing to a team, beating you 27 and goose-egged you. you had an opportunity to get one of the easiest wins. Heck, Buffalo beat them when they didn't have Tom Brady. And when Tom Brady came back, you saw what happened. So, with that said, I do not believe they're going to cover that spread as far as the Houston Texans are concerned. I believe New England's going to cover that. And if the line was actually 21, I would believe that line too. And I think it's going to be necessary for the Patriots to do that. Well, Tom Brady's going to make sure it's necessary for him to do that because he wants to put some stank on it and for people to put some respect on his name. Especially after this way he got a hose in the first four games of the season, get suspended for something stupid. So, I'm going with the Patriots to win and to surpass the point spread. They're going to cover that and then some, sir.
Lock it up. Wally, can Houston cover this spread?
No, this is like varsity versus JV.
Why is everybody laughing?
This is like varsity versus JV. This is not even funny. This is disrespectful to the Patriots, for real. This is like so disrespectful to the Patriots. Like this is actually the easiest role for the Patriots.
Let me copy right there for one second, Wally. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Right. We went through this whole year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed, and I know you, one of them, obviously being a diehard Redskin fan as well. And even say whether your friendship or your fandom or not would say that the New England Patriots were still the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
What to me they are the. I said about another team earlier this year with the basketball terminology. What are they great at? It was like the Redskins I said it about. Outside of the quarterback position, what do the Patriots dominate so much that have people afraid of this point spread? Because they're not dominant. They don't run the ball dominant. They're not dominant. They're not the greatest defensive team out there. Historically, mm-hmm. their coach and their quarterback does the damn thing.
Yeah, you just said it. You just said it right there. I think you pretty much answered the question. The coach and the quarterback. The coach takes away what you do best. You're right. They don't do everything great. Like, their defense isn't the best defense in the world. But what they do is they scheme for you the best. That's what they do. So when they play you, they scheme you the best. Years when they beat Peyton Manning, they had the best defense in the world. They had a really good defense. It wasn't the Baltimore.
Peyton
Ravens
Manning was always.
I'm just saying in general, like they take away what you do best. That's what they do. So that's why they just coached well. It's just about like Edelman and Amendola on another team. You wouldn't even know who these individuals were. The only offensive threat they have is Gronk, and he's hurt. And we've seen them produce and win games without Gronk. We've seen them produce without Brady. They went 11-5 with trash Matt Castle. So you know they're coached well. Like, they're coached well. So when they play a team, it doesn't matter. Like, we're not looking at stats. When they play that team on that Sunday, they're coached better than that other team is coached. So it's just coaching. That's when it comes down to. So when you're playing against the Houston Texans, a team – the quarterback that struggles, the team that a quarterback who's like 6'8" and gets his football bad down like every time he goes out there to pass, you know that they're gonna schematically say, you know what, I'm taking away Hopkins, I'm taking away your running game. How are you gonna beat me now? And that's what it is.
I don't think they have a chance to win this game. I just don't think they're gonna get blown out by 18-21 points the way a lot of people have
Do you have faith in that quarterback?
I have faith in the defense of the Houston Texans that play a little bit better than they did on that Thursday night football game back in week 3. I think that defense is better than what people are giving them.
I love Clowney. This is what I will say to you.
That's why I don't is it a 14-point game? Probably. 16?
Okay.
Hell no. Give me my money.
That's 2 points off. I feel
it. 2 points. When I'm betting the line, that's a big damn difference. 347-637-3859. The closest line this weekend is Kansas City hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Snoop Dogg had a lot of things to say about the Pittsburgh Steelers, which brings me to a point, a little bit side note, if you will. Snoop Doggy Dogg, how can you be such a damn Pittsburgh fan when you love everything else L.A.? That's all I wanted to know. Moving on. Kansas City, however, is favored by 2 points in this game. Fat Andy said, it's not KFC, it was Kansas City, and I'm here. I'm doing the same thing I did in Philadelphia, but will I do the same thing I did in Philadelphia and get eliminated after a first-round bye into the playoffs? Or will he go on to the AFC championship game, as he did 5 times with the Philadelphia Eagles in a row, actually? Your take, Wally. I mean, Jay Chris. Who wins this game, Kansas City or Pittsburgh?
I'm going with Kansas City to win this game. I think Kansas City is the scariest team in the playoffs right now, and I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
You better lock it up. If they
lose this game this week, I'm gonna have to pick somebody else. But I think Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl, and so I have to pick them to win this game. Plain and simple, my man Andy Reid's gonna make it happen. I don't even know what the line is. What's the line on this game?
I just said 1.5.
1.5. Kansas City. To pick them. Kansas City.
I have picked, beginning this year, I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers to go to the Super Bowl. In the playoffs.
As did I.
In the playoffs, I've kind of changed my tune and said it will be an all, Battle of America's team. And, you know, y'all know where I'm going with that, so I'm going to stick with that. But in this game, Kansas City has a very good chance besides one major problem, injuries. Injuries, I believe, are catching up with them. I believe that right now the Pittsburgh Steelers are a hot team. You have a dynamic quarterback. You have a dynamic running back. You have a dynamic receiver. You have an overachieving defense that, as long as the offense is playing dynamic the way they have them playing, they seem to show up and play, you know, some good defense, if you will. I know they beat a quarterbackless team in the Miami Dolphins last week. But I think Pittsburgh wins this game. And not only did they win the game outright, this is going to be a 4.5, close to a touchdown game, in my opinion. It's not going to be let me say that again. They cover. Pittsburgh wins this game, and Pittsburgh covers. And I definitely lock it up. How you got that going, Mike?
Lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I can't go with this line in favor of Kansas City. I have to go with Pittsburgh Steelers to win this game outright. I do believe in the line for this line for Pittsburgh, but not for Kansas City as far as the spread or winning the game. It's something about Pittsburgh in the playoffs that I get concerned about, and I believe in a Pittsburgh Steelers with a Ben Roethlisberger at the helm, even though he has played horrendously this year on the road. I'm talking about his touchdown to interception ratio on the road is the same. But like, I think there's only a difference in one touchdown to the interception. I think it's 9 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. So the fact that Le'Veon Bell's healthy, the fact that Antonio Brown's healthy, is really going to be a buffer to try to see if we can make this, if he can make it out okay. And the defense has been playing well as well. There's also the thing is that when it comes to Kansas City, I'm trying to think of what other offensive weapons they have outside of Tyreek Hill. And for some odd reason, when I think Kansas City offense, I think Alex Smith can occasionally tuck it and run it, and Tyreek Hill is the most versatile player they have on their team.
I'm sorry, did you just say that he has to tuck it?
What else am I hearing of?
Did you just say that he has to tuck it? Okay, moving on. That went over your head. So you got Pittsburgh winning this game.
Yes, sir.
All right, lock it up. How you got this in Wallet?
You lock it up.
I got Kansas City winning this game. I look at it the same way how Pittsburgh played my.
Of course you do. You are
and covering. No, and it's the same way. It's the same way how we looked how Pittsburgh looked at Miami after being embarrassed. You know, in that regular season game, Kansas City got embarrassed by Pittsburgh in that primetime game. And I just feel like with their defense, Eric Berry and whatnot, they're gonna play with a chip on their shoulders. I think they take this game. And like Micah said, this team doesn't play well. Big Ben doesn't play well on the road. So if you look at all that stuff, if you put in that pot, it doesn't look that good for Pittsburgh.
What doesn't look that good for Pittsburgh?
And you got Big Ben who struggles on the road. Kansas City's gonna probably play with a chip on their shoulder because they got embarrassed on that primetime game, and they've been playing better football ever since that game, to be honest with you. So I just think that if you look at it, and playing in Kansas City isn't an easy place to play at too at the same time. So I just think that you put all that together, it makes
Arrowhead
it difficult for Pittsburgh to get W in that venue.
I think Arrowhead is a tough place to play. I just think it's too much offense for this team. I do. I just it's a feeling I have. It's not just the fact that I chose them to go to Super Bowl, you know what I mean? And it's nothing that I have against Andy Reid, where I know Jay Chris and some Philadelphia people want to see him still win a Super Bowl. I don't. He didn't take my Eagles, so I don't give a damn. I don't wish him any ill will, but I don't want him to win a Super Bowl or go. So 347-637-3859. Now, the game of the week, the primetime game of the week, Jordy Nelson is not playing as Green Bay goes to Dallas. Can it have been laid out any easier for the best team in football, the Dallas Cowboys, to get to the NFC championship game? Or is Aaron bleeping Rodgers can continue to bleep his way through these playoffs? He dominated the NYPD defense of the New York pass defense of the Giants last weekend. First half, we saw it. The Giants were in the game 6-0. Then a Hail Mary that should have been called offensive interference was not called. Green Bay goes up, and Aaron Rodgers in the second half cannot be touched, cannot be, you know, sacked. His passing accuracy, he just came out on fire like every person on the field was Olivia Munn. His football was his privates. I don't know. He was hitting all kind of targets, but he refused to lose. Can the Dallas Cowboys defense that we all say is not the greatest defense stop Aaron bleeping Rodgers? Or is the offense of Dallas too much for Green Bay's mediocre defense? I'm going to start with you on this one, Jay Chris.
You know, in the playoffs, we've seen in the
five
past.
5 points. Dallas is favored by 5 points.
There's two things that really matter. Okay, there's two things that really matter when you're playing in the playoffs. How well are you playing right now? And how healthy are you? The Dallas Cowboys are the healthiest team in the NFL, I think, right now. Probably, I don't know if they're healthier than the Patriots, but I think both those teams are the healthiest. Green Bay is playing out of their mind right now, okay? I really didn't think that they were going to beat the Giants, especially after Jordy Nelson went down, because he was barely in that game. That being said, you know, I'm trying not to pick with my heart, and I'm trying to pick with my head here, and I really can't see Dallas. I can't see Green Bay losing this game. I'm picking Green Bay, and I'm not picking them to cover, but I'm picking Green Bay to win, but I think Dallas does cover the 5.
I'm sorry. Green Bay is the underdog by 5.
Green Bay is the underdog?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they would be the underdog, wouldn't they? I'm sorry. Yes. Well, yeah, Green Bay, right, Dallas. Is not going to cover the 5 points.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought I heard the other way around. That's on me. My bad. 3-4-7.
Green Bay wins. Green Bay's going to win.
I got you. You said what?
Green Bay's going to win this game.
So if Green Bay wins today, they win outright.
I'm still saying it, but yeah, Green Bay wins outright.
Lock it up. Okay, that's how it wasn't right. Me. It was you. Wally. Who wins this game? As I know you're not going to cheer for the Cowboys win this game, no matter what your heart may say.
Oh, I'm not cheering for the Cowboys, but I think the Cowboys win this game.
I didn't say cheer. I meant picking the win.
Oh, I think the Cowboys win this game. I just don't like the matchup, to be honest with you. I just think that I don't think that the Packers will take away Ezekiel Elliott. I think losing Jordan hurt. Again, I'm not sold on the Packers like everybody else is in terms of their hot play. I still feel like they played lesser competition on this run. What they did to the Giants was impressive, but the Giants don't score, so there was so much pressure on them anyway. But I look at it like, all right, well, you know, they're playing the Cowboys. The Cowboys have been the best team in the NFC throughout this whole season, so I don't think that's going to change. So I don't see them really beating the Cowboys.
I also have Green Bay covering the losing this game, I'm sorry, and outright to the Cowboys, not just the 5 or probably more. I think they're really weak up front. I think the offensive line, the Cowboys, I think Ezekiel Elliott, who will be the rookie of the year in the NFL, will carve them like the cheeseheads that they are, and win this game. I just think it's too much for the Packers. I think they just have too – it's like while they're kind of just, you know, going to a little bit, and I maybe piggyback on what he was saying as far as they don't have enough. You know what I mean? To defeat the Cowboys. Offensively, yes, they do. But defensively, they do not. They cannot stop the Cowboys' offense. They just really can't. So unless Aaron Rodgers is out here again, seeing Olivia Munn all over the field, and he's hitting darts to everybody out there, that I don't think they have a chance in the game at all. I think they not only win this game outright, the Cowboys, but sorry, this seriously might be a blowout. Micah, your take on this game, Cowboys. I've been saying it all year. I'm going to continue to say it. The best team in the NFL.
Hold on.
Yeah. And I gotta choke up a little bit in my throat every time I have to admit to that. It's just a little feeling,
It tastes a little better than it used to. It's getting a little.
At least we got at least the kind of people that we got. You know, we can always root for the black quarterback. We can always root for the running back who's doing his thing, making running backs relevant again. You know,
I'm never going to root for them. Never.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, it's a good thing.
So what
ever.
Else, what you mean? I can say. Say what you just said to me again. I'm sorry. Seriously, say it one time. One more time. Because he's a black quarterback, we're going to cheer for the Cowboys.
No. I'm not cheering for the Cowboys because he's a black quarterback. I'm cheering for him, the individual player on the Cowboys team. Cowboys team.
Micah, you know what?
Chip, you know what? You just made the list. Oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
I'm never going to cheer for the Cowboys in any form or fashion. Will I ever cheer for the Dallas Cowboys? But I will call a game the way it should be called. They win this game.
Yeah.
You don't agree with that?
No, I agree with you. No, I do think that it won't be I don't think it's going to be a blowout, though. I do think because Aaron Rodgers is the man that he is, I do think the game will be close. I think Green Bay will cover the 4.5, the 5. I think Green Bay will cover the 5, but they're not going to win that game. So I take Green Bay to cover.
You better lock it up. Double lock that thing.
You better lock it up. Lock it up.
I just don't seriously think that – Packers of Green Bay can defeat the team in any form or at all. What's your take on this one, Nick?
My take is that because you got two contradicting styles in this one. We all know Dallas has been great with running the ball all year long with that offensive line, and Dak Prescott has been in several situations where we've seen him pull it out. I think it's all about who starts off this game. You know, who starts off this game more efficiently? If we see Dak Prescott and these Cowboys struggle early against Green Bay's defense, who, let's just say, they really they got kind of lucky this past weekend with the secondary issue because they really haven't had the best secondary all year long. And we all know they're pretty weak at stopping the run. However, Green Bay has had some decent, has had some opportunities to where they haven't had to really rely on the defense as much. However, if Aaron Rodgers gets off to a start like he did starting the second half of last game, I think the Cowboys will be in trouble. But to answer your question, I think Green Bay will cover, and I'm going to take them to win on the road in Dallas. Just because I'm not sold on that Dallas. I'm still not. Now, granted, Dallas gets.
Nick, how come I can't even smell a little bit of hate from you on this one?
I'm sorry?
How come I feel a Dallas hate for you on this one?
Me, Dallas hate? No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No?
Nah.
Sure?
Not at all. Positive. Okay. Maybe a little hate. But
it definitely smells like team spirit. That's for sure. 347-637-3859. Listen, guys, before we got here on this Lock It Up Friday, one thing that has come to that has turned the corner, if you will. We had the best ever Floyd Money Mayweather appeared on ESPN's First Take. And now today coming out just a little while ago, Dana White makes an official offer of $25 million each to Mayweather and Conor McGregor. That's chump change compared to Floyd Money Mayweather. He will not take that deal. However, Floyd did state on this program that they are actively working at getting a deal worked out. Jay Chris, do you want to see this fight? And before I have you answer that question, I'll answer for you on my behalf how I feel. Hell no. I'm going to tell you why. McGregor has no chance to beat Floyd Money Mayweather in a boxing match the same way that Floyd Money Mayweather has no chance of beating Conor McGregor in a UFC fight or in a mixed martial arts fight. And here's another thing. I think Floyd has everything to lose by taking this fight with Conor McGregor, because McGregor is like the president-elect. You don't have no idea what's going to happen. McGregor might get hit too many times just decide to kick Floyd in the nuts. just because he wants to, because he has nothing to lose. What are they going to take his boxing license? He doesn't care. He can go back to MMA. Jay Chris, do you want to see this fight that has been talked about now for almost 8 to 9 months, McGregor versus Money Mayweather? Because I don't.
Surprisingly, I do want to see the fight, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I want to see the fight. McGregor's been tugging at Superman's cape for far too long for Superman not to respond, right? I don't need this fight, but I would like to see this fight just to see Mayweather beat the brakes off of Conor McGregor. I would love to see.
Was he Chris Brown and Tojibor more or this one more?
Oh, I'd definitely rather see Mayweather and Conor McGregor more than Chris Brown and Soulja Boy. I mean, come on, man. Like you said, Soulja Boy like dude from some South Central lifting that 3-pound dumbbell, man. Come on, man.
But
may not happen anyway.
Do you think at all for any chance that Floyd fights this guy for $25 million, Wally?
No. Joke. I don't want you to fight anyway, but I'm not even like, I think this whole thing's a joke. I think Floyd just having fun with it. It's not something I don't pay to watch special events anyway, but I'm not paying to see that. I wouldn't even want to pay to see that.
You gotta stop telling people that, Wally.
I don't be caring. They're gonna stop me, man. They can't stop me. Look, I'm like Nino Brown, dude. They can't stop me. I passed 30 to the hood. They can't stop me.
Oh, hold on. We built this thing right here, man. We see them beat.
Especially if we get as a solo sports crew, we get a front row ticket to the fight. I'll definitely watch it. I don't mind going there and seeing Conor get his stuff pushed in. But at the same time, Mike, I'm one of those guys that think that okay, I know that Conor McGregor has been throwing MMA type hands. But I think he has some. Now, I'm not saying his hands are good enough to even touch Mayweather. There's guys who's uber faster and are specifically boxers that can barely graze the guy. All I'm saying is, just like you, he's unpredictable, will probably have an awkward stance, something that Floyd may not have seen before, and he may last for 10 seconds. That's all I'm saying. He may last for 10 seconds.
It'd be longer than 10 seconds because Mayweather's hands are brutal. And I'm a
That's what I'm saying. Only 10 seconds.
Let me finish. The same way that CM Punk said to the Dwayne, because he didn't call him The Rock, remember? Dwayne, your arms are too short to box with God. Okay?
Yeah.
McGregor has no chance to even... Okay. Jay Chris, I would see this fight because I like to see that boy get punched in his mouth, okay? But I just think it's a joke. I just think the whole thing's a joke because again, I have a better chance right now to go out my door and randomly run into Halle Berry than Conor McGregor has to beat Floyd Mayweather, unless he slips on the canvas, okay? Cause if Mayweather, like you just said, Micah, if professionals cannot come close to touching this guy, what makes you think that he can come close to such a guy? Guys who do boxing 4'11" and can hit the speed bags and who do have faster hands. But you said he has MMA speed. That's a completely different speed than a boxer's speed. Okay? Floyd Mayweather's jab is faster than anything Conor McGregor can throw. So can he see an overhand right coming? I don't know. But listen, guys, our time is up. We thank you. It's been a pleasure to be back here. See you on Monday. We are back here, the Solon Sports, discussing who happens, who won the game. Did Wally get a foot in his mouth or did Michael get a foot in his mouth? It don't matter. Just don't bite it. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat and don't love God. People, that's crazy. We out of here. Fingers.
Very talented. I'm God gifted. It's just there's a difference.
Great cash, homie. This is the Soul in Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul in Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that, we got to work.